Welcome to Root Causes, the PKI and Security podcast, where a couple of digital certificate industry veterans talk about PKI, trust models, encryption, and things along those lines. This is episode 21. I am Tim Callen, senior fellow at Sigtigo, and as always, I am joined by Jason Sirocco, CTO of IoT at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jason?
I'm doing super, Tim, and anxious to talk about Texas, where everything's bigger.
Texas, where everything is bigger, including cybersecurity laws. So Texas just put itself at the head of the class by passing a pair of Senate bills that are there to protect the energy grid. It is Senate Bill 475 and Senate Bill 936. And I believe, if I'm correct, these are meant to work together, essentially. And maybe, Jay, tell us, what do these bills do?
So let me tell you where the impetus for this came in. Kind of interesting, Tim, and then we'll get right into what the two bills are and how they work together.
Okay.
It turns out that there was a report, was not named which North American utility it was.
That's right.
But they apparently, for some period of time, lost visibility to certain parts of the system due to what is called a cyber event. So interesting. Apparently this happened in early March.
Cyber event.
Yes.
Whatever that's supposed to mean. Yes.
And it's not officially confirmed, but when the state of Texas just passed, you know, or is about to pass two laws very quickly.
Right.
You might get an idea of when and where and how that, you know, what may have been happening.
It sure could be. And we know furthermore, it's not just an anonymous utility. It was a utility in a quote unquote Western state.
That's correct.
So that helps us suspect that Texas might be where that happened. Yes.
I think what's interesting here, there's two bills. That's not the interesting part, because I think probably the way things work in Texas is, you know, there might be companion legal pieces. That's the way that they pass their laws there, and that's perfectly fine. Right. As you know, in California, there was an IoT legislation that was passed. It's now law with regards to authentication techniques within IoT devices going into California. This is different because it's very specific to the power grid in the state of Texas.
Right.
The first bill is basically, purpose was to promote collaboration among the utilities and the regulators. So in other words, I think one of the challenges that they're trying to address with this bill is that a scary event happened and there probably was not a lot of communication happening.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of information sharing. Whoever it is that was hit probably was like, I don't know how to deal with this and I don't know where to go. All I know is that I got to keep the lights on. Yeah. And I need help.
Yeah. And I would guess, Jay, that there was also a concern about, well, how do we know that the next guy down the road isn't going to be hit, right? Even if I know what's going on or I have my response and I see certain things, certain behaviors, if that's not being shared among the community, then that same vulnerability is just available at another utility.
Yeah, so there are ISACs out there. So for the financial industry, oil and gas, and other vertical industries that are out there already have very formalized, through the federal government, information sharing mechanisms.
Right.
And I think the state of Texas wants to have something of its own, which is perfectly fine, because if they're an integrated system, it would make sense that for an integrated grid to be able to share information. So that's what the first bill is for. It basically formalizes what that's going to be. So it's going to probably, in my mind, Tim, that first bill is essentially looks like they want to form a Texas ISAC for the grid.
Right. And then what, so that's Senate Bill 475. So now what does Senate Bill 936 do in conjunction with that?
The Centralized Utility Commission within Texas is actually going to be put in charge of five different bullet points, of which I'm going to read off pretty quickly here and maybe hit on one or two of them more. They're going to essentially manage what they're calling a comprehensive cybersecurity outreach program, which means they're going to go out to the wider cybersecurity industry and probably ask for help, which is not a bad thing. They're going to meet regularly and discuss best business practice, put together training. And the way you can see state legislation being worded here, there's probably going to be some money put aside for these kinds of activities, because right now there are no pockets of money to be able to do these kinds of things. They're also going to do some voluntary self-assessments. They're also going to be researching and developing best practices regarding cybersecurity. And then obviously they're going to be reporting to the centralized commission on the monitoring of what's going on. So between those five bullet points, this legislation to me, Tim, again, looks like just putting together a pot of money to do something that's not there already. So, right. So for those of you who are might be familiar with electrical energy generation and NERC SIP and some of these other governance pieces that are out there federally, you can tell that the state of Texas is maybe a little bit unusual compared to the rest of the country, because if I'm not mistaken, back when I lived there, their power grid was, it was obviously attached to the North American power grid, but Texas kind of stood on its own. And therefore, it makes sense for Texas to have a coordinated statewide effort and to have a, you know, the state put aside two bills, which essentially will probably put together some program money for these kinds of things. What it should show you, and this is where I'm going to end on the point, is what it should show you is it actually took a crisis for them to just begin to do the basics.
Yeah. And that was, there are, I have a lot of questions on this one. And one of them is, you know, some of these are broad words like self-assessment and best practices. But when I read this, it feels to me, I would have thought they were doing this stuff. And I guess my question is, are utilities behind the game on this?
I think, Tim, they're so far behind. You know what? If anybody listening from that industry is on right now, please speak up. I think that all of us give full sympathy to the fact that, hey, you know what, Tim? My lights are on right now. Right. And they're going to be on tonight. And I'm not even thinking about downtime. The little bit of downtime there is in the full North American grid system is barely worth mentioning. And that's kudos to the incredible efforts of that industry. And just living in the first world with the reliability of our electrical system is incredible. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
However, you know, it turns out we had an event in early March. I'll be happy to go on the record for this, but it is speculation. I'll say this. I think the only reason why our lights haven't gone out because of a full-blown cyber attack is because the bad guys know that it would cause such a dust-up.
Yeah.
That they're using a lot of discipline in essentially trying to direct their cybersecurity powers against us towards things like fraud and stealing money rather than turning out the lights, because people would have to react if they turned out the lights.
Right. And so if I were, and if I'm a for-profit criminal, I can see that decision-making take place, although the equivalent of, you know, ransomware certainly would be one potential business model. But gee, if we start talking about terrorist attacks or cyber warfare kind of scenarios, then the people who would have those attacks would not have those compunctions about it. They would be fine with that result if it got them the damage they wanted to get right now.
I love what you just said. You would have thought that they were much further ahead.
Yeah.
It's the same story over and over again. You might have an IoT device in your hand and you might think, oh, this thing must be secure. If you were to actually dig into it, 9 times out of 10, I bet you it isn't right now. And that's unfortunate. The very things that we take for granted, such as our power system.
Yeah.
I'll go as far to say as they may be near the bottom of the list. I think they're at the top of the list in terms of safety and uptime and reliability and all those things that are incredibly important that those engineers are just masters of. But when it comes to cybersecurity, the fact that these are connected systems, and quite often they are connected to some network that at some point, you know, egresses at the public internet, and therefore bad things happen. I mean, the lights went out in the Ukraine, and that was a full-on cyber attack. And I hate to say it, but that looked an awful lot like a practice run for other jurisdictions.
Yeah, we can all bet that the people who did what they did in Ukraine and in a different flavor some years earlier in Georgia are certainly feel like they're capable of doing that again. for sure, and probably at a bigger scale. Is this going to set the stage for more of this kind of activity, either in other states or at the national level in the U.S. or in other countries?
I would hope so. I hope that when I go to conferences, people from this industry, I already do see them. There already is interest. Interestingly enough, Tim, I think what's gone on with Texas, and Texas being a leader in state-level grid cybersecurity, one of the things that I think was allowed this to pass was not just the fact that there was a crisis, but the fact that the state allowed the electrical generation and transmission industry to actually pass on the additional costs either to the end customer or to someone in the middle of the stream.
Right.
That is actually worded as part of this legislation. So believe it or not, Tim, I think what may put this over the top is the costs associated with cybersecurity itself, the fact that the margins are so low in some of these industries perhaps have been causing them to not act. And so therefore the state's now breaking down and saying, yes, you can raise the price by one penny per, you know, kilowatt or whatever it's going to happen to be.
Right.
At somewhere in the lines. In other words, somebody's going to have to eat the cost. The fact that is now worded in legislation might be what tips this in favor of that industry actually moving forward in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, because utilities have kind of an unusual challenge in this regard, right? Which is that they are private companies, but at the same time, they're these sort of quasi-monopolies. And as a result, they are very highly regulated. They're also determined to be in the public good. And so there's just a lot of people up in their business all the time. And things like changing pricing aren't always available to them as options. Or reducing costs in certain ways aren't available as options.
Yeah, I think the economy of this is a huge factor in why this is further behind than it is. It's definitely not for a lack of goodwill. I also think that, as we said, reliability and safety is paramount. And where you and I, Tim, you know, we can talk about cybersecurity and with respect to enterprise IT all day long. These folks are worried about keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
And even small changes, they need to be studied to within and into their life. And so therefore, everything's going to be more costly.
And is that another important point, which is cultural, Jay? If I talk to somebody who works for a grid company and I say safety, do they immediately think about downed powered solid lines and, you know, little school children rather than what you and I think about from our background in cybersecurity and born in the cloud, where we start thinking about computer systems? Is there a cultural orientation toward the physical elements of running an energy company that maybe causes cybersecurity to get less attention than it would get otherwise?
Sure, Tim. Absolutely. You and I have been in the information protection security business for multi-decades. I'm sure there's a ton of good people on the other side who've right. been making sure that things are safe and up and running and reliable for multi-decades. You know, we get buried in our business, they get buried in theirs. And yeah. we look, you know, to us, the world looks a certain way. To them, it looks a different way. For us to come together, we need to be able to come to a common understanding. I think this legislation, though, Tim, even though it's simply worded and quite vague and generic, I think the wording is right in the sense that it's an outreach, right? Yeah. You take a look at that first bullet point on the second mm-hmm. bill. This is about, hey, okay, guys, it's time to come together. We need to information share and we need to learn from each other. You know, you guys who are multi-decade information technology experts in security need to come together with the OT experts, and we need to come to some kind of common understanding. It's long overdue, and it really is time to start it.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, hey, computer industry people, without electricity, the computers don't work. So
help
the electricity flow.
Yeah.
This is important, and we'll keep our eyes on this. You know, it is interesting that this is going on more or less simultaneously with some of the legislation that we've seen around Internet of Things, like California Senate Bill 327 by way of example. And it feels like, even though they're slightly separate in what they're doing, that we're almost looking at two sides of the same coin, that the same trends are occurring in both of these very related fields.
Yeah, there also is, as you know, at the federal level, federal IoT legislation, and NIST already has stuff on this, obviously, because the federal legislation is actually is worded in such a way that they are actively looking for NIST to develop guidance that is specific to Internet of Things, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's already a lot of really good work on this. Because this is state-level legislation, it's not worded that way, but I'm more than certain that folks in Texas have already been talking to some of the federal governance people and experts. Anyway, doesn't matter. The way the wording is as of right now, nothing stopping anything from happening. It is vague for a reason, and I think it's actually for good reasons.
Yeah, so this is good. I think we both think this is a very positive development, and we're hoping to see more this have legs and be extended and used and go into other directions. And then ultimately, I guess I'll leave you with one last question. We talked about these two sets of legislation and effort, the energy legislation and the IoT legislation. Do these two areas of attention ultimately have the opportunity to help and improve each other? Are we going to learn things from the IoT laws that we're going to take back to the energy and utility laws, and vice versa? Is that something that you think will go on, Jay?
You know, Tim, in my experience, the patterns of attack seem to be very similar.
Yeah.
Operational technology systems obviously have information sharing mechanisms. There's an enormous amount of valuable operational data that is sitting inside of those networks. People want to get them out. And so that's the impetus. That's the commercial impetus for putting IoT devices into those networks, predictive maintenance and all kinds of other use cases that either help to save money or generate revenue in a new way. But in terms of the types of devices that are inside of those grid networks right now, there's an enormous number of technologies that are being used in a more generic IoT sense that could bear very good fruit for this industry. So I think, you know, that first bullet point in terms of cybersecurity outreach, I think that cybersecurity vendors who've already been dealing with operational technology networks and the physical world, I think that we've solved a lot of problems already that are going to help in this grid environment.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And a lot of the same problems, and even the fact that the energy companies have to be IoT customers by nature of what they do. So there's going to be a lot of overlap there. Hopefully these things will help each other. It's an exciting developing area. I guarantee you this isn't the last time we touch on this topic. I think there's much more of this coming in the year to come.
Yeah, Tim, I'll finish off just with one more sentence. I think you touched on at the end of the last podcast. But again, you know, this is a podcast about PKI. I think purpose-built PKI has a place in here. I just have a feeling about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely concur. So it's a big development. Thank you for your insights. It's always fun talking to you, Jay. And this is Root Causes.
Thanks, guys.